Well, a very warm welcome to you all again as we come to worship the Lord together this day. And a welcome to all who are listening as well from outside our church. If you're joining with us in worship today, well, a very warm welcome to all of you. Let me just read to us as an opening reading this morning from the letter of 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. And verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit within who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. Well, may the Lord add his blessing to that reading of his holy, inerrant word to us this morning. And let's open this day in prayer as we come to God again for his worship. Let's pray together. Let's bow our heads. God and Father, we thank you again for this day, the Lord's Day, upon which we are instructed to come and to set apart for your worship. And we thank you, O Lord our God, that you have indeed enabled us to worship together for another Sunday, even during the situation that we are in. And we ask, O Lord, that you would unite our hearts in the love of God through Jesus Christ your Son this day as we worship, so that in all things we might bring glory to you, that you may be truly and rightly worshipped amongst us, and that in all things you also would work for the good of those that love you. And so, Lord, as we enter this morning through each element of this service, through the prayers and through the readings of God's word, through the singing of hymns to your praise and glory, and finally to the culmination of our worship, the preaching of your word, Lord, would you indeed open our hearts that we might worship you aright, but also that we might hear you speak to us this day, that we might glorify your name evermore in our own lives. Help us this day, we ask, or now, O Lord, for we ask it in your Son's name, our Saviour, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, we come to our first hymn this morning, and our first hymn is called In Heavenly Love Abiding, No Change My Heart Shall Fear. And that hymn is number 778 in our hymn books. In Heavenly Love Abiding, No Change My Heart Shall Fear, and safe is such confiding, for nothing changes here. The security of the true and living God to us is given to us here in this hymn. Let's sing and worship God together as we listen to this.
Thank you.
Well, let's come now to the reading of God's word for this morning, and our text for this morning's sermon comes from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. And those famous words from our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ to his disciples. And these are the words of Jesus here. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Well, that's the word of God for us for this morning. May he add his hand to it, upon us, his blessing to it upon our hearts. And we'll come back to that in a little while to consider what it has to say to us today and how we may relate it to our daily Christian lives. Well, let's come now again to the Lord in prayer. Let's bring our needs, our petitions, but also our thanksgiving and our worship to the Lord at this point in time. It's good to come to God and to pray to him, to speak with him, and to hear him, more than that, speak to us. Let's bow our heads before Almighty God. Our God and great Father, we thank you this morning for your immeasurable goodness to us, that you indeed have brought us into a knowledge of yourself. We thank you, O Lord, that you have saved us from our many sins. We know, O Lord, that we know our Saviour Jesus Christ this day as being the one who gives true rest to his people. And we thank you, O Lord, that we know that rest on a daily basis. We know that indeed he is with us, that he abides with us and with his people at all times. And we ask, O Lord, that you would continue to help us to trust on you in dependency from day to day during this time of lockdown where we're not able to meet publicly. But we pray that you would make yourself known to us in a very great way, that we might know you and experience you meeting with us. And as we meet here this morning, Lord, we would ask that you would meet with each and every person listening here this morning, that as the church, as your congregation of Shrewsbury Evangelical Church, and as the congregation of friends that are listening in this morning with us, we ask that you would meet with every soul, O Lord, this day, that needs would be met, that souls would be comforted, that distresses would be ministered to, and that all kinds of anxieties and sins would be dealt with. Lord, we do indeed look to you this day. We confess our many sins before we would petition you for anything. We confess that we are sinners, that we were born in sin, that we continue to sin on a daily basis, and that though the work of Christ has been accomplished on our part, fully on his part, yet we are yet to see the consummation of all of that in our own lives. And Lord, how much we long to see that happen in our own lives. How much we long to see you fulfill that promise of yours, that one day we shall be with you in a place where there is no more distress or crying or mourning, where there is no more sin, but that there is ultimate perfection. And so we ask that as we travel on our journey towards heaven through this life, that, O Lord, you would indeed meet with us as we meet again on this precious Lord's Day, as we come before you as your people, as we minister to your praise and worship. We ask, O Lord, that you would again fill us with everything needful for this journey that we are on to meet with our Lord and Saviour in heaven. Lord, we recognise that each Sunday that passes brings us closer to that moment in time. We know, O Lord, that you are with us throughout this world, and that Jesus Christ himself has promised to us that his Spirit would abide with us until the very end of the age. And so we thank you, O Lord. We thank you for your sustenance of us, O Lord, that you would give us spiritual food to nurture us and to nourish us and to help us, O Lord, in this life as we walk the brief few years of life to eternity. And we pray, O Lord, that if there are any listening this morning that do not know you, that you would create in them a sense of conviction and a sense of urgency, that they would need to turn to God, to turn to Christ this day for eternal assurance of salvation. So, Lord, we pray that in this service there would be all of the elements of a gospel call, that there would be all of the elements of Christian teaching in terms of how to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in this life, available to all in this service. We pray, O Lord, that you would help and be with each and every one as we continue to worship you this morning. We bring our church congregation to you this morning, O Lord, and ask that you would minister to each and every one of us, and that at this time that we would use the relatively greater free time that we have in order to improve ourselves, in order to improve our knowledge of the Christian life and of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We pray that for those who are parents, that we would all make the very most of this time in order to teach our children and to pray with them and to encourage them in the Christian life and to nourish them and to nurture them in the faith. For those who live alone, we pray, O Lord, that you would comfort each and every one. For those who are elderly and infirm and suffering from ill health, Lord, we ask for your hand of blessing and peace and comfort to be upon them. And for the whole of the church and for other Bible-believing churches, we pray this day that you would bless the ministry of your word as it goes out this day, and that as folks listen to the word of God being preached, that they in turn would be transformed internally into the likeness of their Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ our Lord. So, Lord, our prayer today is that we would come in confession before you of our lack, of our many sins before you, O Lord, that we would also come in worship of you, the one true God, Father, Son, and Spirit. And our petition would also be that you would continue to be faithful to us, to sustain us and to keep us, O Lord, as we walk the Christian walk through this life towards heaven. Therefore this day, let this be another day, another Lord's Day, whereby we may all gather together in unison as your church towards that one great heavenly goal, to see Christ face to face. Lord, we do long to see you, and we love you, and we want to worship you this day. We ask now for the help and the ability of your Spirit to do that, for we ask it all now in our Saviour's name. Amen. Amen. Well, let's come to the next hymn in our service, and it is hymn number 623 in our books, My Faith Has Found a Resting Place. Now, the words or the stanzas may not all be exactly as they are found in our hymn book. Of course, I'm taking some of these recordings from different places with permission. So Let's worship the Lord together with this hymn. Well, let's come back to the reading from the Word of God that we had earlier on from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, and we hear those wonderful words of Jesus Christ. Come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Last week we began maybe what I would term as a mini-mini-series on the Gospel and on the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw how God in John 3:16 instructed us as to whom we are to look in order to gain eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God providing the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lamb of Atonement to be our one great and only Saviour from sin. And this week we are considering Jesus' words himself from Matthew 11, where Jesus now is calling all men and all women to come to him. Come to me, he says, for spiritual rest, for teaching and for assurance of salvation. And there is a few different concepts of rest in the world, hasn't there? I've narrowed them down this morning to two simple concepts, and the concept of physical rest. It's a wonderful grace of God that we can rest our bodies. Nonetheless, the concept of physical rest is a temporal concept. It's of temporal value. It's a welcome refreshment after a hard day's work doing manual labour, together maybe with a cold, refreshing drink to quench the thirst. Maybe if you're, if it's at all possible, together with a few minutes of sleep. How wonderful a gift of God rest is to the physical body. But we're discussing here this morning about spiritual rest. Spiritual rest, that thing which is of lasting and eternal value. It is that which the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of here, and it is the thing that is offered to all men and women. The question is, are you resting in Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins and assurance of faith this morning? Are you resting spiritually? Have you made your peace with God? Have you found peace with God? Now, what does it mean then to rest in Jesus Christ, knowing that quietness and peace of heart that only comes through having made your peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ? And in this passage, the Lord Jesus is summarizing his call to discipleship, and he's issuing a free and a welcome invitation for those who are laid low by the weight of the law and their sin to come to him for true rest. You see, the problem in the New Testament was this, that whilst in the previous verses the Lord Jesus was addressing the people of Israel who were weighed down by the legalism and external religion of the age through the Pharisees, and they had and they taught this over-reliance upon the law, which never brought about the righteous life that God desired, but rather it caused people to be feeling constantly guilty and frustrated. And Jesus refers to the Pharisees in Matthew 23 verse 2 as men who sat in the seat of Moses. In other words, they claimed the authority of Moses in interpreting the law and the word of God, and therefore insisted that in Israel, that all in Israel rather, who submitted to Moses should also submit to them. But then in Matthew 23 and verse 4, Jesus warns them of the oppressive ways of the Pharisees, doesn't he? And he says this of them, "For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders." That's a heavy yoke, you see, isn't it? That's a difficult yoke to bear. The yoke of legalism, the yoke of men and women never being able to meet with God, never being able to make their peace with God, but rather insisting on a law-based salvation. You see, he was speaking about the way in which the Pharisees had hidden the true meaning of Old Testament law with external religious rules and regulations which they had instituted as the way to God and as the only way to receive the blessing of God. The law in and of itself was good and righteous, but the very law that God had given to the nation for their own benefit and their own profit, guidance and their own blessing, didn't bring liberty to them. It never brought spiritual liberty, because men are weak and sinful and they are not able to keep the perfect law of God. It was dependent upon man's ability to be obedient to the law. And the contrast is found here today in the Lord Jesus Christ. The contrast to the terrors of the law, as the hymn writer puts it. And in his wonderful atonement that frees us from a works-based salvation to a salvation that is administered by grace through our Saviour Jesus Christ. for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And you see, here in this short and brief passage this morning, Jesus makes this gracious invitation for all who want to know him, for all who want to come to God through him, to experience the joys of forgiveness of sins, to experience the love of God, to experience a conscience at peace with God, and more than anything, to enter into a gracious heart relationship with him. And so we find that first verse, and my first point here, it really is simply the invitation. What is the invitation that Jesus gives to all men today? Well, the invitation is this: come to me. Come to me, Jesus says. Come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Verse 28. Are you weary this day of your sins? If you're weary and experiencing a sense of conviction for your sins, then come to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the only one that has the answer to your heart. And if you're living under the guilt and weight of unforgiven sin, then Jesus is calling you in a very firm voice to come to him. Come to the only one who can help and deliver you from your sins. Come to the one who alone is able to give you rest for your soul and to give you a conscience which is at peace with God. The word come here in the original language can be read as an encouragement or an exhortation even for people to come here, come over here. That's what it means. Come over here, come to me. Take steps, in other words, to move yourself from one position to another position. Move yourself towards someone. And Jesus is saying, well, if you do not know peace with God this morning, if you have a guilty conscience about your life, if you have never come to God and have never submitted that you are a sinner, if you have before God never acknowledged your sins, then Jesus is saying, come to me. Move your position, move from where you are in your mind and heart, and move towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in so doing, in coming to Jesus, you will be reconciled to God. You will be made to be at peace with God through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the atonement, that one great act upon the cross that drew men and God together. So the invitation to come is given to you. If you have no peace of conscience this morning, if you have no peace with God, the invitation is for you. And that invitation is very clear. In verse 28, come to me. If you recognize your need of God this day, if you recognize that you would like to have a free conscience before God, and you know that you are sick in sin, come to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he came, you know, into the world, not for the good people, not for the righteous people, not for those who would say, well, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm fine, I've done my good works, and I've been faithful, and I've helped people. Those were the Pharisees, of course. They were the people who said those kinds of things. But Jesus is saying, as if you are knowing your sin, if you are aware of the fact that you're a sinner this morning, come to him. Those who are contrite in heart for their sins, are invited to come to Jesus Christ, who is our prophet and our priest and our king, for full and complete forgiveness of sins. Are you feeling the weight of your sins and separation from God today? Are you worried about the future, maybe? You know, there's no need to be worried, because if you are found to be in Christ, there comes the most wonderful peace over every Christian who believes. There comes the most wonderful looking forward to being with Christ one day. And it may be that you are this kind of person, that you've been trying for many years, instead of coming to God, you've been trying for many years in your own strength, with your own methods, to satisfy that lack of peace with God. It may be that you've been ploughing your strengths into your job or into your career to try and silence and placate your conscience. And you might say, well, I'm devoted to my work. I've done a good work and a good job for my employer. Doesn't that count for something? Well, that counts for something to your employer, maybe. But it doesn't count as anything when it comes to eternal matters. Or you might be saying, well, I'm devoted to the beliefs and constitution of my own denomination, and I've been faithful to that denomination through the whole of my life, and therefore I believe the Lord will not overlook these things. Friends, brothers and sisters, we have to remember the words of Christ to us, that one can only come to him if one walks the narrow way, the narrow road. And anything outside of the Lord Jesus Christ and his terms of salvation are veering off onto the broad road that leads to destruction. These are not the terms of salvation. These are simply moral terms. I'm devoted to my own beliefs. I'm devoted to my own denomination and church. I believe the Lord will not overlook these things. I've helped charities all over the world for many years, or I've been a good employee, and they're all good things in and of themselves. But they will not bring us to peace with God. They will not bring us to be reconciled with God, because we are seeking to come in over the fence of the sheepfold by another way, as Jesus says. We must always and every time seek to come via the way of the shepherd himself. We must listen to his words. We must come the way that he has sanctioned for us to come, by on his terms. You see, Matthew Henry, in his commentary on this passage, says that Jesus Christ holds out for us here the golden scepter, that we may touch the top of it and live. Are you going to touch the scepter of God this morning, that you may live? Because we are talking about eternal matters here, matters that will have a great effect upon what happens when you meet with Christ one day after your death. But secondly, I want to just move on a little bit to the next verse. Verse 29. The promise that Jesus gives us is this, or 28b and 29, the promise that Jesus gives us is this. He promises true and lasting rest. And this only comes from the knowledge of Christ, the experience of Christ in our own hearts. He offers to us not only physical rest, not some kind of temporal mind rest. But what Jesus offers is far more than that. He offers permanent, eternal rest from the wages of sin, which is death. Romans 3:23. He promises eternal rest from those wages, which will be the wages of everyone who fails to turn from their sins and to turn to Jesus Christ. And again the question comes to us, it's inescapable, isn't it? have you peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ? Because if you don't, let me implore you today to consider your standing with God. This is not simply a moralistic treatise this morning. This is dealing with serious eternal issues. This is dealing with eternity, the whole of eternity, time immeasurable. And if you have not been reconciled with God through acknowledgement of your own sins and repentance of them, and if you have by the same token not turned to Jesus for forgiveness but are persisting in your own self-justification by whichever means that may be, then you presently live under the wrath of God for those sins. And Christ one day will come to judge the world. And we shall all be judged by Christ according to our own works. For those who've believed, there's nothing but the most wondrous blessings ahead. And let me list a few of them for you here this morning. The blessings that are given to the Christian, to the one who has believed and trusted and continues to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, are these: that we will have Jesus with us to the end of this age, and then, of course, beyond for all eternity, living in us by his Spirit at all times. Christians have this wonderful relationship with the Saviour from day to day, knowing him and loving him and learning about him, growing with him. And then we'll have the promise of the Spirit, which Jesus gave upon his ascension from this world after he was crucified. The Spirit upholds us through this life and calls us to the worship and devotion of Jesus Christ. And not only that, but he also teaches us and leads us into all truth about God. He teaches us through the hearing of the word read, and then also through the hearing of the word preached. And he helps us and illuminates the word for us inwardly. And I'm sure that we've all had this experience several times, that we've heard a passage of scripture read or preached upon, and it may be that it has confused us and we haven't quite at the time understood what it was trying to say. And we pray about it, we take it to the Lord in prayer. And a little while later it dawns upon us what the meaning of that word meant. And we have recognized the work of the Spirit in illuminating that scripture to us and helping us to understand it. And so the Spirit's teaching of the Christian, the Spirit's upholding and protection of the Christian, also his promise to be with us until the end of time, and his promise to uphold our Christian testimony even in times of persecution and suffering. All of these promises bound within the one great principle of God working all things for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Remember the examples of Stephen and of the Apostle Paul speaking against ungodly people, witnessing to the grace of Christ before ungodly crowds, and the Spirit coming and giving them the words to say. And that's the promise of Scripture, isn't it? That the Spirit in this life will keep the believer, will keep his testimony, will help and will strengthen each one as he endeavours to speak and to witness for Jesus Christ. These are tremendous privileges given to each believer in this life. But for the unbeliever, the consequences of not acknowledging our sin before Christ and therefore making Christ out to be a liar, we cannot bear think about. The consequences are for them to face the full wrath of God, the full just wrath of God upon sinners. And that also, as much as the blessings, is also a promise to those who fail to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be concerned today about a number of things, about our world. You may be concerned about which direction the world is heading. You may be concerned about politics. You may be concerned about the environment. You may be concerned about human rights and all kinds of other things. But if there is one thing that you ought to be primarily concerned about, it is your eternal destiny. It is this one very thing. Have I turned to Christ? Have I acknowledged the fact before him and before God that I'm a sinner in need of forgiveness and in need of reconciliation with him? You see, Christ says to us, well, I can promise you true rest if you come and you acknowledge your sin before me. True and lasting rest, not only rest that lasts for this life, but eternal rest. Eternal rest, that means that you will be eternally secure in Jesus Christ to face God one day and to be given a well done, thou faithful servant. But thirdly, this morning, there is a condition of entering that true rest. There's a condition. We can only come to God through the merit of Jesus Christ, our only Saviour. What does it mean when Jesus says to us then in verse 28, to take on his yoke? Take my yoke. I'm sorry, verse 29. Verse 29, he says, he implores us to take upon ourselves his own yoke. Because here you see the contrast, you see, between the true and the false Christian profession. It is at this point that we leave behind any sense of mere religion, formality in religion, the mere business of religion. We're not talking about the business of religion here. We're talking about, am I in Christ or am I not? Do I belong to Christ or do I not? Do I have an assurance of the fact that I belong to Jesus Christ without a shadow of a doubt? See, we're leaving behind at this point mere words and promises and platitudes, paying lip service to Bible teaching, to coming with all seriousness to submit ourselves in humility before God through his Son, Jesus Christ, submitting ourselves gladly to him and placing ourselves under his authority, allowing him to lead us from here on in. And that is the meaning of one being placed under a yoke. We're being placed under the yoke of Christ. We're being controlled by the Lord Jesus Christ. Whereas previously we were controlled by the world and by the flesh and by the devil, all of which take us nowhere and in fact will take us to a terrible place in the very end. But Jesus says, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. That's the meaning of being placed under a yoke, isn't it? You come under the submission of one. You come under the service of one, and you allow yourself to be directed by Christ. And although we know that salvation, of course, is by grace, through faith in Christ alone, but yet without our coming under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ and being placed under the yoke of Jesus Christ, there is no salvation. We are to take on the yoke of submission, the yoke of the authority of Jesus Christ. We're to live under his authority. We must come to Jesus in submission of heart and mind, willing to have him to live his life through us. We must be willing to have our own plans to be put away, and for the glorious prospect of him having him live his life in and through us. Some of us are better at allowing that process than others of us, I understand. But Paul sums it up wonderfully in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, and he says these immortal words, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." I no longer live, Paul says, but Christ lives in me. Is that yours and my testimony this morning? I'm sure that we would all feel that we ought to be doing better in that sense. And you may be this morning under a yoke of sin, but you don't understand very much at all of what has been said. Don't despair is the encouragement. There is a remedy for this. Verse 13, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus is not saying there by any means that it's easy to live the Christian life, that there is no problem, that you just simply sign on the dotted line and you say, "There we go, Jesus, I've signed on your line, now I can just go ahead and live my life as and how I want." No, not at all. "My yoke is easy," Jesus meaning that he will be with us and will help us and will endure with us and will keep us and will preserve us through this life until we meet with him. So we are to experience the easy yoke of Christ in prayer with him. We are to experience his help to us. We're to exchange that yoke of the burden of sin, the world and the flesh and the devil, for the easy yoke of Jesus Christ. And we are, positively, to stop seeking to be good enough for him, because you never will be good enough for the perfect Son of God, the one who came into the world, who was blameless and sinless, unlike us in every way. The only right way to please our Saviour and good God is to come to him on his terms. No one is excepted from this great salvation. Jesus, as he describes himself, is meek and lowly in heart. Verse 29, he has compassion on all of us, from the ignorant to the learned, from the rich in this world to the poor of this world. Jesus is one who is the most approachable friend in this world and is one who sticks closer than a brother to us. And if Jesus is in you, then he is closer to you than the person that is sat next to you. Jesus Christ loves the believer and keeps and sustains the believer. And he condescends and has condescended himself to reach everyone. So there is no need to think today, "Well, I cannot come to him because I'm not good enough. I'm not learned enough." The gates are wide open. The invitation is gracious and generous. "Come to me. Come to me. Take my yoke upon you. Get rid of that worldly, fleshly yoke of sin, and take the yoke of Jesus upon yourselves." He is a Saviour, a wonderful Saviour, who has saved and will continue to save to the uttermost all who come to him. And we cannot afford to ignore so great a salvation. The question is this day, will you heed the words of Jesus Christ that call you to reconciliation with God through looking to him, through trusting in him, And will you come and will you exchange your yoke of sin with his perfect, righteous yoke, that comforting yoke? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, Jesus says, for I am gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Do you have and do you know and have you experienced that rest for your souls? That's the most important question that you can ask yourself today. We need to be at rest in our souls, having had made peace with God through our Saviour, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hear his word today and turn to him then, our all-sufficient Saviour. To him be the praise and the glory. Amen. Amen. Well, we come to our final hymn of worship this morning, and the final hymn is found in our books, number 584. It's a lovely little hymn, not very long, but it speaks of trusting the Lord Jesus. The first stanza begins with, "Jesus, I will trust thee with my soul. Guilty, lost, and helpless, thou canst make me whole." Can you trust the Lord Jesus Christ this morning with your soul? And then secondly, the second stanza says, "Jesus, I must trust thee, pondering thy ways, full of love and mercy, all thine earthly days. I will trust thee then, secondly, I must trust thee. And Jesus, thirdly, Jesus, I do trust thee, trust without a doubt. Whosoever cometh, thou wilt not cast out." Those are words of truth, of course, taken directly from the Bible. Jesus' words about himself, telling us that when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, he will in no way cast anybody who comes to him sincerely and truthfully seeking forgiveness of sins and to be made right with God. Well, here's our opportunity as we sing this hymn to sing the words thoughtfully and prayerfully, considering our own stand with God. Let's sing and let's worship God as the end of this service now for a week. Let's really worship the Lord as we sing this hymn together.
Thank you.
Well, let's come now to the Lord as we close our service this morning. Let's commit ourselves to the loving care of God now as we bow before him in prayer. Our great and gracious God, we thank you this day for your blessed help to us. We thank you for your word, O Lord, and for the gracious invitation that you give us to the gospel, from the gospel to each and every one to turn to you. We know, O Lord, that we live in this wonderful gospel age at the moment, the church age, where there is still opportunity for sinners to turn to you. And we ask, O Lord, that in these days that you would convict many and turn people to yourself, that they might know the gracious mercy and love of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour, at work in their own lives, that they may be released from the wrath of God that is yet to come upon all who fail to believe in your dear Son. Therefore, O Lord, bless us as we continue our lives throughout this week. We pray that you would be our comfort and our peace this week. And we pray, O Lord, that you would be everything to us that we would need as we continue in our Christian walk day by day, trusting in you for all things, thanking you for all your goodness to us, O Lord. Therefore be with us now, we ask, for Jesus' sake we pray it all. Amen.